You want the days off, or are you happy to get that job?
Well, both. We want both. We want the days off, and we want the job. So, Tony La Russa asked me to coach third base, and so I'm looking forward to getting back on the lines there. And that always was a fun job, coaching third. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity and get involved in coaching them All-Stars. So that's always a fun day.
Looks like you might have a few twins with you, too.
Well, that's very well could be, sir. We could have as many as four or five, I think four, possibly. So, again, it's a possibility, and, we might only have one or two also.
Last night's game was a tough one, 50,000 fans there. Tommy was saying that when that ballpark is full, that the ball really travels. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, there's no question about that. The ball is flying. It's been flying all week. And the ball's jumping right now, and there's a lot of people at the ballpark, and it is really taking off. It's very obvious.
So that makes it tough on the pitchers, right?
Absolutely, and it's fun for the hitters. But we, after the first inning, we didn't do so well.
Scott Erickson, did he have his normal stuff last night?
No, obviously not. All the White Sox players, I think they commented to Herbeck when they got to first base. This isn't the same guy they've seen on TV and heard about. And that's right. He didn't have as good the velocity as sinker. Nothing was working for him last night. He had a bad day.
Can't go on forever, can you?
No, absolutely.
Good to see Herbie back in the lineup. Is he all right now?
No, he's not perfect. But I think he's probably good enough to get by here until he does get better 100%. But he's probably all right swinging a bat. But if he has to make a real tough throw, we're going to be in a little trouble.
Paul Sorrento's called up. I suppose you're going to have a hard time, like we were talking yesterday, getting him in a lineup.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with him. And I know there's a lot of Paul Sorrento fans, especially in Minneapolis. There's a couple people here, I think, one of them might be his agent or something. They give me a hard time. But I don't know where I'm going to find a spot for Paul. And, I'm going to have to play Herbeck at first. And again, I'm going to have to save a spot maybe for pinch hitting. But hopefully, when you play the game, you don't have to use your pinch hitters. That's you're doing well if that's not the case. So, I'll wait and see, and we'll find a spot for Paul somewhere along the line.
Tom, it looks like a seven-team race in the Western Division. I see last night California got beat by Texas, so you still got that two-game lead, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be close. There's no question about it. Who knows what's going to happen? The big thing will be the injuries, and hopefully we can stay away from, we lost Gladden, that's not going to help us. And we can't afford to lose too many people, and I don't think any of the teams can afford to lose any people. If you do, that might knock you out.
Talking to Mr. McPhail, how you address him, he was saying that it's been crazy all year. A team wins 5-6 in a row, Texas won 14 in a row, you won 15 in a row, and then they seem to lose a few. They're streaky, very streaky season.
Yeah, that's true, and who knows what's going to happen in the game of baseball. Whoever gets the breaks, pitches the best, is probably going to win. You can go a couple days in a row with a little bad luck and maybe not pitch as well, and you're going to lose. So, we need to tighten up the ship here a little bit. As the other day we left three men on base, on third base, with less than two out, and that cost us a game. Yesterday we didn't pitch too well, but we didn't hit well either, so we need to tighten up a little bit. And again, we played so well for the month of June, it's really hard to fault any of the players.
One encouraging thing was Kirby seemed to be a little more patient at the plate last night. He got a home run and a double, not swinging at a lot of bad pitches.
Well, yesterday the guy was a left-hander who Kirby knows real well, he didn't have any problem with him, but today might be a little different story. We'll see what happens. We'll have to hopefully hope for the best here today. This guy's going to pitch Kirby real tough. He's going to be tough on him.
McDowell, he's 9-3, young pitcher out of Stanford. How are you going today?
Well, we have a few people that have awful numbers against this guy. So like Mr. Gagne is 0-0 for lifetime against this guy. So I really have a hard time putting him in. And we're going to play Leas at shortstop and Pagliarulo. Larkin in right field, Harper, Chile, Herbie, Puck, Newman at second, and Mac. Navi had some terrible swings yesterday, too, so we'll get Newman in the game. As Steve Ashburner wrote, Mr. Utility, who's 31 years old today.
Very good. Happy birthday to Al Newman, a great, great guy in a ball club. Tom, take a little break, and then some of these people at Fargo are great Twin fans. Got some good questions for you.
Great.
Yeah, we'll be, if you want to talk to Tom Kelly, line up. We'll take questions from the audience. Then we'll be right back. You're listening to The Tom Kelly Show. Okay, we're back from Fargo, and manager Tom Kelly, we've got a line of people waiting with some questions for you, so we'll start right off. Go ahead.
Well, I'd like to wish Tom Kelly continued success for him and his team the rest of the summer. I'd like to ask the Twins manager maybe some of your top two or three favorite major league stadiums over the years, and even some minor league ones, too, if you could.
Stadiums? Well, the best place probably to play is Anaheim in California. That's a beautiful place. And if you can't play there, then there's something wrong with you. And again, if Kansas City's very picturesque, very clean, very nice, and the only thing that you could, you know, say that was uncomfortable there is a day game when it's about 95 degrees, that heat comes right off that AstroTurf. But it's a really picturesque ballpark and very clean, and it's a good place to play. Also, for a pitcher, it would be good. Least favorite ballpark, I have trouble in Texas. I don't really care for that place, Arlington. I don't know why, I just don't like it. But it's the major leagues, and anytime you're in a major league ballpark, you better be thankful.
Tom, any favorite or special minor league parks along the way?
Oh, boy, Dave. I've been in so many of them. I don't know. The Orlando ballpark was always nice, and we had a lot of success there, and I did as a manager, so I had some good players that played for me there. So, I would have to think any time where you had some success, you also enjoyed the ballpark. So, and the Visalia ballpark was a nice ballpark, great for the fans, up close up for the people. So that was a nice ballpark also.
What do you know about that third baseman that's doing so well down at Orlando?
Cheo
Garcia.
Cheo Garcia. I don't know too much about him, but he's got some good numbers. I saw he was player of the week or month or something down there. He's doing pretty well. I get excited about him when he gets up to AAA and then when he starts to get close. I see he's hitting .336 as of June 28th, so that's not too bad.
Okay, we've got more people with some questions. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was got a question. Are you going to bring up Willie Banks?
I hope eventually we do. Willie's starting to pitch the ball pretty well now. He's had his last four starts have been real good.
What's
and
his record?
He needs to do that consistently now. We need to for Willie to crank out about 10 of those and show us that he's got it together at the AAA level and he's ready to pitch in the major leagues, but he's got a little ways to go yet.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, next person. Go ahead.
I was just wondering, Tom, do you think Lenny Webster will make the club next year, and if he will be taking over Junior Ortiz's spot of catching Scott Erickson?
Tom, these guys, you're in first place, and you got great, great players on here asking questions about guys like that.
Well, you got Lenny Webster's. A lot can happen next year. I think Harper's a free agent, and so he could possibly leave and go somewhere else, and then that would change the whole picture of things. So I think a lot will depend on what happens with Brian Harper.
Okay, we've got more people in line. We'll pick right up. Go ahead.
Yeah, Tom, how long do you see a Randy Bush staying around with all the talent coming up from the minors?
Well, that's a good question, and it's a difficult question to answer. That pinch-hitting job and being a bench-type player is not an easy job, and you really don't want young kids doing that. You want to have an older guy over there who knows what's going on, can study the game, and knows when he's going to be used and knows the situations and can handle that pressure of sitting around and waiting for that one time to pinch hit, and it's usually a crucial situation. So it's a very difficult job, and it's not one you'd put a young kid into, but Randy handles it very well, and that's a hard question to answer, but it's not going to be an easy person to replace either.
Randy's such an outstanding young guy. Everybody loves him on that club. You wish him continued success, but he, like you say, is tough coming off that bench. Okay, we had a little break here, David, and then we'll be right back.
Yeah, we're due for a break. Reminding people along the network, you're listening to The Tom Kelly Show. Okay, we're back live here at Fargo, and our plea for more questions paid off. Sid was badgering the audience. Come on, you second guessers, get up here. Tom sits here to protect you if the questions get too tough. Got a young man in front. Go ahead.
Do you think Benny Nagel will be called up from the minors by the end of the year?
That's it that you're going to ask that question? No, Sid gets some favorites, but he can bait you people up out there, and you have to be careful. Taking advantage of that young kid.
He might not.
Well, Denny's got some good numbers. He just had a little trouble the last couple times, and again, he's doing well, and I think from the conversations that I get from the front office people that it might be wise to keep him down there for a while and for his benefit and as well as the organization's. But he's going to be in the major leagues. I can't say when, but he will end up a major leaguer.
Russ Nixon, I was talking the other day, and he was saying the same thing. What's a left-hander's name that throws a forkball? Thame? No, it's... Samus?
Famous. T-S-A-M-I-S.
Yeah, I have a little hard time pronouncing everything, but that's tough. I hear some good reports on that kid. What do your reports say about him?
Yeah, he's absolutely right, Sid.
Good forkball.
Throws like same type as Alan Anderson, same type pitches, right?
Well, I hope he's like Alan Anderson when he's good, not bad.
Absolutely.
Okay, young man in a Nebraska shirt here. Go ahead.
First of all, I got two questions for Tom, but before I get to that, I want to thank Dave and Sid for the 800 number, giving us people up in Fargo a chance to call in on Sunday morning.
Thank Mr. Goldstein. He finally broke down.
Okay, here are the two questions. To follow up on the Randy Bush issue earlier, Paul Sorrento hits from the right side. Is that correct?
Left side.
He's a left-handed bat?
Yes, he is.
Okay, well...
That takes care of your question.
That takes care of my question. I was hoping he hit righties as well as he hit lefties. The second question is, I saw you guys down in Orlando this spring, and Scotty Leas was very hot. And so far this year, he's been hitting 250, 260. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between the spring and so far this season?
Well, he's doing fairly well, hitting 250 at the major league level. That's pretty good. I think in the spring, the pitchers aren't ready. They're not sharp, and the hitters have... if they've been working out and somewhat in shape and ready to go, they might take advantage. You end up hitting off some AA, AAA kids at some points of the game, and you might get a couple hits there. So the averages are deceiving in the spring. That's why we don't put too much stock in those things.
Okay, next question.
Yeah, Tom, what's the future of David West and the future plans for Gene Larkin?
Well, that's up to them. David West is up to what his future is pretty much up to him. He pitched fairly well last night. He pitched six innings last night in Edmonton, I believe, and gave up two home runs. But the reports are that he threw the ball much, much better than he had been, and that was his best outing. So he'd probably have to stay down there for another start for sure and do it again twice, make it two in a row. Gene Larkin's going to play today, and there's some guys that Gene hits real well, and he's adequate in the outfield. He throws the ball good enough, and he's a versatile guy to have on the team, being a switch hitter who can play first base in the outfield.
Russ Nixon was telling me that West has got to get the ball over the plate much better than he's doing so far. That's the problem, isn't
it? He did much better last night, Sid.
Very good, TK.
Okay, young man, you're up.
Hi, Tom. What is your opinion on Bedrock Bedrosian?
Bedrock Bedrosian? He's got the best tan on the team. Yeah, he's got that wrapped up.
Bedrock pitched pretty good, but last night...
Yeah, he didn't have it last night. He was rushing himself, and I don't know, he's ball pumped up last night, and he's just flying open and left the ball up in the strike zone, and he got hit hard.
Yeah.
Okay, next question.
Tom, how much longer are you going to go with Mark Guthrie in the rotation? Why not?
Well, he's not pitching, and he's going to... in the bullpen now for a little bit, and we're going to start Abbott on tomorrow night, and we'll see how it goes after tomorrow. We'll make some more decisions after what Abbott does tomorrow, and right now he's going to work out of the bullpen.
So you had Guthrie warming up in the bullpen last night, or we just
throwing? Night just thrown.
Just thrown. Mm-hmm. Okay, young lady, next.
Okay, Tom, I was wondering, how many victories and what is it going to take for the Twins to win the American League West this year?
Oh, boy. Well, I don't know that. If we win the rest of our games, we'll have a real good chance. Again, that's a hard question to answer. What do we got now, 40-some? 44?
Yeah.
Rob Anthony just walked in, told me 44.
Rob Anthony, Mr. Statistic.
Yeah, he's going for Executive of the Year, I guess.
You're right.
Yeah. He told me 44, I would say at least 94, probably, somewhere in there, it looks like, for me. If you get 90, you're going to have be awful close.
You know, Tom, you never know about this race. Texas, the Gonzalez kid now starting to hit. Then they come up with that Palmer third base and a 19-year-old catcher, Rodriguez, I think his name is, behind the plate. And all of a sudden, they're a factor.
Yeah, their pitching's going to be what's going to
decide.
Whit and Ryan. Win it out at the end and who's going to get hurt. So we'll have to wait and see who's going to stay healthy and who pitches the best.
Tom, conventional wisdom on Texas says that they often fade in the heat of July and August. Is that park really brutal to play in during those months?
It's real tough. In fact, they have a tunnel that you hit that you do batting practice in. It's air conditioned, and that's the way they operate. And while the rest of us go out there and sweat in that 107, 108 degrees, it's tough. There's no question about that, and not experiencing it firsthand on a regular season, I wouldn't know what to say about it, but it's got to be awful tough and wearing out. That's why I think you need to play all your players and bring some new people up like they have now. So they probably are refurbishing their ball clubs.
Tom, reminds me of the old days. I'm sure in all your days in the minor leagues, usually the home team clubhouse is pretty nice. The visiting team clubhouse, you can't even move around.
That's true. But, again, Texas has a real nice setup in their clubhouse. They have a nice weight room. They have good hitting tunnels. And it's pretty nice in that aspect. But I guess that heat down there, I guess that's why I said something about their ballpark. I really don't like it down there.
Okay, next man here, David.
A lot has been made of the chemistry of the 91 Twins. Can you expound on that a little bit, and what suggestions could you give to the Vikings?
Oh, man.
He and Mr. Burns are very close friends.
Yeah, I don't know anything about football.
You're on the sidelines, though, every game.
Yeah, but I don't know anything, and whatever they decide to do, I'm sure it's the right thing. I got that question a couple times. A sports writer asked me about the quarterback controversy, and I said, I got enough problems with my own game. Don't ask me about that.
I know you can play basketball. I watched it a year when the Timberwolves had the floor there. And Wiesner, you always took Wiesner in a pivot, didn't you?
Well, Wiesner was easy to get around.
Yeah.
And I took him.
Not so easy to get around. He's getting a little fatter now.
Oh, I didn't say that. You did.
Yeah.
I forget what the question was.
Want to know, about the chemistry on the 91 team.
I'll tell you about chemistry and momentum. It's only as good as your next day's pitcher. So if you got good pitching, and you're going to have good chemistry. But if you don't have good pitching and you're going to get knocked around day in and day out, you're not going to have good chemistry.
Okay, Tom, our next questioner is a young man. He's got a Minnesota Twins T-shirt on. Go ahead.
Good.
Hello. Do you think Alan Anderson is going to get any better at pitching?
Any better? He's doing pretty good. The other night, he pitched a real good ball game. We missed a play in the field, and the next guy hit a three-run homer, and then he gave up a single homer. That's the day we left all the men on base and didn't get him in, so he pitched a real fine ball game for us the other day.
No break, Tom. We'll be right back.
Okay. Yep, Tom, if you can stand by, we'll be back in 2 minutes. You're listening to the Tom Kelly Show.
For me, after, to see if you got any guts. Get up here and ask a question.
Well, Sid, that was on the air, so... Sid's been badgering the audience here during the commercial break. And... Well, Tom, it worked. We've got a long line of questioners. You've got a game to coach, but for about the next 6 minutes, we'll handle as many of these questions as we can, starting with the young man in front. Go ahead.
Oh, young man, I haven't been called that for a while. Tom, it's been fun watching the Twins this year. I've got three quick questions, and I'll leave. One is, what's the status of Gary Wayne? You and he were up here last winter with the Twins tour, and a left-handed guy that can get somebody out occasionally.
Occasionally is a key word.
Yeah. That answers that question.
You got that right.
Second one, since this is kind of nostalgia weekend here in Fargo, I'd just like to hear your major league playing highlight of your career, in your opinion. And then the third one, have you ever seen anyone refuse an interview to Sid Hartman? Honestly.
Forget about that question.
My highlight, they say my highlight film takes about 5 seconds, so that's out. I guess the day I hit the home run in Detroit, I guess that has to be the highlight of my career. So that was brief. And Gary Wayne made the All-Star team in Portland, and he's on the All-Star team, and the latest numbers I have is that he's 2-3 with a 2.50 ERA, which is pretty good. He got 36 innings, 33 hits, and 20 walks. So, you know, that's 53 men on base in 36 innings, and that's not what you call perfect. But he's on the All-Star team, so he must be doing something right.
Okay, next man here.
Hi, Tom. Do you think Ken Herbick would be a better player if he'd lose a little weight?
No.
Why do people always ask that question?
No, he's...
How about yourself? You could lose about 20. Yeah, and Sid will be back here at Fargo in about 10 years.
That's a good one.
Okay, gentlemen, the Zubas.
Yeah, I was just wondering, it seems like the Twins pitchers like Anderson and Guthrie have been kind of getting hit in the first inning or so, rather, and then they settle down. Is there anything that we can do to get them so that they don't give up a couple of runs in the first inning right away?
We need to change the structure of the game. If we can just skip a couple innings, we might be okay. They'll have to play that first inning. Their control's not sharp, or they warm up. We've changed their warm-ups styles. We've you know, sat them down. We warmed them up again and simulated a first inning. It's difficult to put your finger on. You have to remember, those two young men are left-handed. Those strange things happen to them lefties.
Tom, we got four more people in line. Sure. We'll take their questions and then wrap up. Go ahead.
Problem.
Tom, before I ask my question, I'd like to send a message back to the members of the Roseville VFW Club, whose girls
teams... No plugs here.
Girls teams are playing for the state VFW soccer tournament this afternoon in Moorhead.
Mm-hmm. You have 12 people there, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, there's fathers, mothers. We got more than 12 here, Sid, who want to meet you outside.
Anyway, Tom, Dave mentioned the streaky nature of wins and losses in the American League this year. And I think we got a kind of an unusual schedule that's structured where you play a run of teams in the East and a run of teams in the West. Do you have any comments about the way this schedule is run? Do you know the name of the guy who sets up the schedule and what kind of flowers and candy his wife likes?
Mr. Computer sets up the schedule.
Well, if they say this, there's a husband and wife team, I think that...
Bob Holbrook.
They set up the schedule. I don't know how they come up with this, but it's not right. We all know it's not right, but they do it anyway. Again, there's a lot to it, I imagine, in setting up a schedule, and I guess it's not an easy job, but there seems with this day of technology that we ought to be able to do what better than what they're doing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not pleasant at all. No.
All right.
Hi, Tom. Most of us don't know anything about Chili Davis. Sid hardly ever writes anything about him. We'd kind of like to know a little bit about Chili Davis.
You might call him today. Spend a buck and a half and get a paper.
Hey, they quit delivering it to my house, so I have to go out and buy it. But anyhow, tell us a little bit about Chili Davis, his personality and so on, because we love him.
Well, he's a switch hitter. He's a DH. He's a strong guy.
19 home runs.
Yeah, 19 home runs. That's important. And he's a good person. He's a good, solid individual, and he's well-liked by his teammates as well as a lot of players around the American League. And he's a popular guy. He's very personable type person. He's a pleasure to have on the ball club. He's been just great.
He rooms with Scott Erickson. Okay, young man, you're next.
Tom, do you think anybody on the Twins team is a candidate for the Triple Crown?
Triple Crown? Baseball or horse racing? What are you talking about? The Triple Crown, no.
Tom, you know more about the horse racing, huh? How's your horse doing? Has he finished any races yet?
Finished any races yet.
Has he won anything? You and Herbie can still have that horse?
I thought this was a baseball show.
Last question, Tom. We're going to let you get off the hook here.
No, we don't have anybody that's going to be a Triple Crown at all, no. Chili would have to really jump up his batting average, and if he did that, the home runs would go down. So I don't believe we're going to have anybody in that category, no.
Okay, we got this, you describe it. With a young woman with the question.
Just one question, Tom. Are we contemplating any trades before the deadline?
I don't know if there is a deadline anymore.
No deadline anymore.
No deadlines, and I don't believe we're contemplating any trades. I haven't seen the general manager much, and that's good news. But I know I'm doing pretty good if we haven't seen the general manager. So.
We'd like to trade her for one of the office girls.
Oh, I'm getting in trouble now.
No, we'll get her a new job. We'll just add somebody. We could use her down at the Twins office.
Okay.
All right, Tom, lots of luck to you.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going to need some luck to get out of there.
You're darn right. And we'll be right back from Fargo. You've been listening to the Tom Kelly Show. Okay, Sid, so far you've destroyed soccer, women's sports, and now you've invited all the fans in Fargo to come up for their shot at you. And we've got a lot longer line than we had to get a shot at Tom Kelly, so we may run out of time before we run out of people. Let's go to our leadoff man. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to say, don't you think that Herschel Walker trade would turn out better if they would use him more than what they're doing?
Only God could straighten out that Herschel Walker trade. You give up seven draft choices. Don't forget, next year they got to get up to first, second, and third next year, too. And five pretty good players. And they've used them. Let me tell you something. If they use him, he carries the ball 1 yard, 2 yards, 3 yards, and he doesn't gain any yards at all. How long can you go with him when he doesn't do it? But they're going to give him a good shot. They're going to one back offense. Not so much because they want to get him back there, but they have three great receivers in Chris Carter, Anthony Carter, and Hassan Jones. And they got this kid Reed, and they want them to play. And so they're going to try something new this year.
Sid, the Dallas management was up here for that owners meeting, and Jones and Johnson were going around telling as many people as they could find they'll have somewhere between 9 and 11 starters eventually.
11 starters, they figured, next year. Hard Rock, you're next. Do you know Steve Bedrosian? Is that where you got that shirt?
No. Looks a little baffled by that question, Sid.
You've only been up here six times, so that's all right.
Oh, we could add young people to the list of Sid's targets.
Can you comment on the Lakers so they can win the first game and then lose the rest?
They played a better team, that's why. Yeah. Michael Jordan, did you ever hear that guy's name?
Yeah.
Mr. Knight, when he comes to town tonight, if you have a chance to ask him some questions, he'll tell you that he's the world's greatest athlete. How's your jump? You jump pretty good?
What?
A lot of the people that sit ask questions to respond with that same. Go ahead.
Well, first, David said it's really nice to have you here in Fargo. It's really entertaining. But I have a question that one of your close personal friends is in trouble again. And
who's that?
Pete Rose.
And he's not in trouble again. Mr. Vincent backed down on that one.
You really feel he will, huh?
Yeah, he already has. Found out that he had no control what he does in the minor leagues, and he did Mike Schmidt a favor. And Mr. Vincent is backing down on a lot of things right now. He backed down on that. He backed down on the DH. He's kept his mouth shut about that. And now they changed the expansion formula. I don't think it's much better, but it's a little bit better. So at least they'll be able to protect three more players.
How long do you think he'll stay in that position?
As soon as they can get him out of there.
Okay.
Hi, Sid. I'm wondering about Coach Knight's team next year. Do you think IU can make the Final Four?
I hope so. It'd be great. Why don't you open your jersey so we read the whole thing? Catholics versus convicts. You got that at Notre Dame, huh?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
I was down there for that first Miami Notre Dame game, and we walked towards the press box, and they were selling those shirts like gangbusters.
Well, Sid, I know you're not a Catholic, so I get... No, never mind.
Anything Holt says, I can be. I have to be. You know, he was asking about Indiana. They've got a couple great kids coming. Al Henderson's one of their kids from Indianapolis. They need a big man, but Michigan's got so much power coming up. They had one of probably the greatest recruiting classes of all time. Chris Webber could take the Minnesota team. If he was on a Minnesota team, I think they'd win the Big Ten championship. He's going to be at Michigan.
Okay. Next question.
Yes, sir. Okay. Next question is, I heard through the Sid Vine last week that you were a little unhappy with the trade the North Stars made, giving up Tom Kervers once they acquired him for Craig Ludwig. And being the hockey fanatic that I am, I guess I'd like to take issue with that, knowing that we have Rob Ramage and Mark Tenorti to handle the point on the power play. It mm-hmm. gives us a little more defense up front, so I'm going to give you a chance to respond to that. Second guess your opinion.
No, I still think when you got a guy like Tommy Kervers who won the Hobey Baker Award and the North Stars need a little more public relations, and
I think they should have kept him. I think he's as good a player as Craig Ludwig. But I had a long talk with Bobby Smith yesterday, who played with Ludwig for 7 years, and he thinks he's a great, great athlete, 6'3", 220 pounds. I'll use this term because I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just repeating what they said. He said he clean out in front of the net. He cleans out in front of the net. Does that mean he's a room or something?
I think he's a Zamboni operator between periods.
But they say Ludwig's a pretty good player, so we'll see what happens.
Good morning, Sid.
Yes, sir.
Getting back to one of your favorite topics, the Walker trade. Did Burns have to okay the deal?
Lynn made that on his own. Mr. Lynn would have never made that trade if Mr. Grant was around, I'll guarantee you that. But he convinced Burnsy that it was a good deal, and at the time it looked all right, but nobody knew all the details. Mr. Lynn kept on telling everybody that they were going to get the players back or the draft choices back, and they got neither.
And said people thought Steve Walsh was connected with that for the longest time.
He could have got Steve Walsh, I think, if he wanted the trade.
Question two.
At the time.
If Burns wasn't involved with it, shouldn't a head coach be involved with
he was involved.
Trades?
He was involved, but he was convinced that it was a good trade. Where do you work? If your boss wants to do something, what do you do?
what do I do?
Yeah.
I'm more or less self-employed.
Oh, I see. Oh,
you can, more or less.
You can second guess yourself then.
Yes, I second guess myself. Thank you.
Okay, right, next. Blue shirt coming up.
Yeah, Sid, what would your ideal situation be concerning female athletics?
I think here's the only problem I got. You got a thing at the University of Minnesota. 2-3 years ago, they bring the volleyball team in August 1st and keep them around there only because the football team does the same thing. And then they go out to Hawaii and play, come back and go to California. The money is not there. Michigan last year, they sell out 103,000 football tickets every Saturday. Their athletic department lost $100,000 because they can't do it. And something's going to have to give one these days. The only good situation is in Minnesota, where the state legislature appropriates money for the women's athletic department. If they didn't, if Rick Pay had to support the women's athletics at Minnesota, you wouldn't have baseball, track, gymnastics, or any of the non-revenue sports. Baseball, the revenue sports, but you wouldn't have. It's a money thing. Right now, Wisconsin just cut out baseball on kind of women's sports. They had to cut out women's sports, they had to cut out men's sports. So that's the problem. It's a financial problem. Wisconsin's $4 million in debt on kind of women's sports.
Sid, there's two questions. One, what kind of team is Clem going to have next year? And two, what's between Bobby Knight and Lou Henson?
Well, Clem will have a pretty good team. I think he got a real good break the other day when Vashon Leonard became eligible as a freshman. Clem told me that he was as good a guard he's ever recruited, and he'll make a big, big difference. He is a super, super star. Mr. Knight is a very honest coach who doesn't cheat. And in Illinois, they're on probation. And what bothered Mr. Knight that day, they were passing out some circulars about how Henson should be coach of the year and also how Illinois was unfairly judged by the NCAA. I think got him upset. They don't get along too good.
Sid, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Sports Huddle with Sid and Dave. Sid, we're back on. It's too bad the audience couldn't have heard that little exchange during the commercial. We have
Frank Quilixi, like Mr. Hall used to call you, Frankie.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you never did learn how to pronounce it. I just wanted you to spell it right in your column.
A little tough to spell.
You're just as bad as my former manager of my baseball team in college. I never understood why my name was pronounced wrong.
How do you pronounce your name?
Quilixi.
Quilixi?
Quilixi.
Oh, I see.
The only reason it was pronounced wrong in college is because I took his roommate's job.
What are you doing these days, Frank?
Everything.
What are you stealing now?
Everything. We're driving buses. We got a limo service. We're in the insurance business. We sell out of our trunk. I always... You better be careful with this little guy. His father's got a lot of money. He'll buy the station.
And the paper.
And the newspaper. Don't worry about it, pal. We'll make a deal when I get back.
Frankie, what about your golf tournament? You had a great golf tournament.
We had a wonderful time. You know, the greatest thing about the Major League alumni tournaments, and, of course, the Roger Maris tournament, is not so much that we get a chance to play with the people. It's just that we see guys that we hated for years, and we get to find out they were pretty nice guys.
Yeah, even though they hit a home run off your team.
Not one time. I saw a pitcher that I sent back to the minor league strictly because I hit one of my five home runs off him.
Yeah. Frankie, what about this Maris tournament, this great thing? Frank Quillacy, one of the most popular guys to ever play for the Twins, managed the Twins, was on WCCO radio for a while. What about this Maris tournament? This is a great, great thing, isn't it, for cancer?
It's not only a great tournament, but it's unique, I think. We play in a lot of tournaments. Major League Alumni has 30 tournaments of its own around the country. But we guys fight to get into this tournament because of the people. And really, it always that's what always comes down to. The people here, we're treated so well, and they're great fans and always have been great fans. And, of course, the Yankees. Heck, they were Yankee fans before the Twins got to the Twin
right.
Cities.
65, you took care of the Yankees, though.
Well, we had to. I'm glad Moose isn't here and Hank Bauer. We'll get shot.
That was amazing. That was a 10-team league that year, David?
Yes.
That was pre-expansion, yeah.
Yeah.
There was expansions.
Well, it was the first expansion.
Angels and Washington.
Exactly.
And that was one, no division playoffs, right?
Right.
You had to have the best record among 10 teams.
Yeah, it was something until 67, of course, and Boston got in it. And then they went into the playoffs.
Playoffs came in 69.
Were you on a club in 67?
Yep. Well, I shouldn't say that. You know, I was working out at third base in September, and some guy said, "Hey, Frank, it's great to see you back." I said, "I haven't been gone."
67, that was heartbreaking. You had a two-game lead, I think.
Yes.
With three games to play, and all you had to do was win is one game, right?
Beat Boston.
Got swept.
We went into Boston, got beat, and I've used that as an example to kids and how they should pay attention to their lives a lot of times throughout their lives, because it's the little things that beat you, and a lot of little things cost us the pennant.
Cott, Boswell, and Perry were the three pitchers? No,
Dean Chance. You know what happened in the day before we left it? Cott, that's when he tore the muscle in his forearm.
Yeah,
heard it snap.
You'd have been another World Series. Hey, Frankie, we got to go, but thank you very much, everybody. We had a lot of fun here in Fargo.
Thanks so much for your hospitality, for joining us on the Sports Huddle with Sid and Dave.